Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. We're getting you all the way home tonight, taking you to 7 o'clock, taking you up to a little Warriors basketball coming up tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors, Lakers. Sure, it's a preseason. It should be fun, though. We're going to do it again on Friday, and then we do this bad boy for real come Tuesday. It's going to be Warriors and Thunder. We're going to be over at Oracle. It's going to be a special year to be at Oracle Arena, no doubt about it. It's going to be heartbreaking a little bit each and every game. I'm going to enjoy them all. You talk about, really, the Warriors' goal this year is to enjoy this year together. I am going to enjoy the last year at Oracle Arena an awful lot. I'm gonna enjoy it, and then on the final night, it's gonna break my heart a little bit. I love that building.
Hurt.
I love that building. I really do. But progress, she stops for no one. The number is 888-957-9570. The name of the game is the name game. It's pretty darn simple. Two first names. That's all we're looking for, and we're looking for the world of basketball. Player, coach, Hall of Famer. Dead, active, draft pick, anyone. We've written it down. I want to show you this name. Gianna, here's this name. You see that name?
I got it.
All right. Thank you very, very much. That is the name we're looking for. It's officially time to begin. Ask for it by name. The name game.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for
the name game.
Starring anyone with two first names.
What's your name?
My name?
Dirt first. It's a funny name.
What'd you say his name was again?
His name is Ricky. Ricky Bobby.
Ricky Bobby? He's got two first names.
Now, here's your host with two first names, Damon Bruce.
And this is how we play. We ask you to ask me a yes or no question. If you get the if the answer to your question is yes, you get to ask another question, or you can go ahead and guess who it is. Are you ready to go? We begin with Eugene. Again, the earlier you go, the harder it is. So we thank people for calling in right away. Eugene, thank you for calling the name game. What is your question?
Did the player play in the Western Conference?
Yes.
Did this player play for the Warriors?
No. Thank you very much, Gene. He did not play for the Warriors. This is Daryl. Daryl's in Sunnyvale. And by the way, you can hop on that guy's line right now, 888-957-9570. When a caller goes down, that's a line opening up. Daryl in Sunnyvale, what's your question?
Hey, Damon, did this person play for the Rockets?
No. Thank you very much. Appreciate you calling. Don in Walnut Creek. Don, we're on you now for the name game. What's your question?
Yeah, I'm going to go all in. LeBron James.
No, I'm sorry. No. Thank you. Thank you very much. We have fallen into the way too obvious trap once or twice. We weren't going to do that again.
We're catching on.
This is Cruz giving us a call from San Jose. Thank you very much, Cruz. What's your question?
Yeah, does the player play for the Thunder?
No. Thank you. So we do have a Western Conference player. Wasn't a Thunder. Not LeBron James. Wasn't a Golden State Warrior. Alex is in San Jose. By the way, the number is 888-957-9570. When anyone goes down, you can hop on their line. Alex in San Jose, we're playing for the Kevin Durant San Jose Shark bobblehead. You're a San Jose guy. I'm guessing you might want one of those. What is your question?
Yeah.
Oh, Alex, say it again. Ask your question again, please.
Was this player in the playoffs last year?
No, this player was not in the playoffs last year. Thank you very much. We go to Ron in Fremont. Ron, your question.
Did this player play for the Lakers?
Yes.
Kobe Bryant?
No. Again, Bryant's a tough first name. I know Bryans. I don't know a lot of Bryants.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah. We actually talked about that. We talked about it, and we debated that Bryant is not enough of a first name for this to fit the parameters of the name game. Not Kobe, not LeBron. Was a Laker. Gerald, San Leandro, you're in line, Gerald. What's your question?
Is this player a guard?
Yes.
Is this player a point guard?
Yes.
Is it Steve Blake?
No. Thank you very much, although that would have been pretty darn good. Steve yeah. Blake. Close. John San Bruno.
Hey, man. Is it a brother, African-American?
No. Which we're really narrowing things down now, I would say. Andrew Castro Valley.
You know what? That last one kind of debunked all my ideas there.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
What's your question? Maybe you get another idea if you ask the right question.
That's the problem. Okay. Is this player was he an all-star at one point?
Yes, he was.
Oh, boy. Now we're really getting after it.
Andrew, you got to throw out a guess.
All right, is this player a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Was this player playing in the 90s?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's do this. Was this player... Did he win... a championship?
No. And that means we can't talk to you anymore.
Oh, you got a lot of good info there.
Oh, my goodness.
A ton of good info.
You did everything but give us the guy's name. Vint, calling from San Bruno. By the way, we need more calls if someone else doesn't get this. 888-957-9570. Vint, we're getting closer. What's your question? Vint? In San Bruno? Am I talking to Vint? No? It sounded like we lost that person. All right, we go to Ralph in San Jose next. Ralph. What's your question, Ralph?
Was he a Phoenix Sun at one point?
Yes, he was.
Steve Nash.
Correctamundo!
Woo-hoo! Good job!
Ralph.
Go!
There you go. I don't know if you had plans to go to the game in San Jose. You don't need to pick up a bobblehead by going to that game. We're going to send it to you now, Ralph. Thank you very much. I'm going to put you on hold. Albie's going to take your information. Our answer tonight, Steve Nash.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. Steve Blake? That blew me away.
Yeah, that was.
We were close right there. Steve Blake? As soon as we narrowed it down to former Phoenix Sun white point guard, I mean, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Pretty much it. Ralph, congratulations, though. Thank you. That was an awful, awful lot of fun. To talk about the fun the Warriors plan on having tonight with the Los Angeles Lakers, we're going to bring in from The Athletic, Anthony Slater here, coming up at 6:20. Should be good to talk to him about all this stuff. You know, we're looking at the current state of where we are in Bay Area sports. I've never... ever thought that we were going to get a day where a 49er game at Lambeau Field coming up on Monday Night Football, plus the Raiders getting on an international flight to go to London, would be buried by an NBA preseason game. But that's where we are, since both these football teams have one way or another pretty much buried themselves. You know, 5 of the next 7 49er games were supposed to be island games. You know what an island game is? An island game. It's a game isolated by other games. Like, you get a Thursday, a Sunday, a Monday night primetimer. Oh, yeah. Jimmy G and 10 nobodies would have been watchable. Monday night at Green Bay, that's good to go. Week 7 against the Rams, already been flexed, already been axed. Would the NFL flex Richard Sherman's return to Seattle? I think the answer is yes, since we don't buy tickets to watch corners play, to be totally honest with you. Yeah, I could absolutely see that happening. The devastating feeling of getting Dwight Clark's ceremony and big day flexed has got to still be permeating through Santa Clara. The best thing I can tell you is that we've got enough storyline in Final Battle of the Bay, and honestly, if you're going to serve me one bad team, give me two bad teams, and maybe I actually get a competitive game out of this. Like, I can watch two and eight teams play against each other if there's no other game going on, and an actual good football game just happens to break out in the moment. Maybe the Raiders and Niners, and the only interesting thing they'll have left for us this year is, you know what? They got together, they played on Thursday night, and it actually was decent. Could you imagine if that game got flexed?
Oh, no.
That would just be it. That would just be it.
By the way, just to clear, there's a lot of questions on the text line that Nash is less than a first name than Bryant. We actually have a kid that works here. His name is Nash.
Totally.
It's the second one I've ever met.
Yeah.
Nash is a first name. Nash Bridges. There was a big show.
Exactly. Filmed in San Francisco starring Don Johnson. Nash Bridges. Is Nash as common as Blake? No, without a doubt. But I still feel good about Steve Nash.
Heck yeah.
And again, is Nash here? We can prove that we got it. We actually have a Nash here at the studio.
He works here.
So, no, we don't actually need Nash. If Nash was listening, he probably just got all excited and thought, this is my big break. I've been waiting for it. I'm going to come on down. Now, put him on the air. Actually, you know what? Get Nash.
And he's a good kid.
He is. It's got to be. It's.
I wonder if he's ever met a Nash. Yeah, Has Nash ever met a Nash? Hi, Nash.
Nash, have you ever met a second Nash?
I have only met one other Nash, and it was in my hometown, a football buddy of mine. His younger cousin was also named Nash.
Nice. What was your name most often confused with? Like, there was a point in my existence where Damon was not a very common first name, and people would say, what's your name? And I'd say, hi, I'm Damon. And they'd be like, hi, Damien. Hi, Darren. Hi, mm-hmm. Devin. Hi, anything but what is your name most confused with by people who are not familiar with Nash?
I don't know why, but I get Noah and Nate a lot. Maybe because the O.
Yeah, Nash.
I don't know what it is. Nowhere near it, though. I'm surprised I don't get, like, Stan or... I don't know. Nash doesn't really rhyme with anything. It's weird.
No, it doesn't.
Not a name, because no one's a stash.
But there you go.
And that is your true first name.
Yeah,
right?
It's just Nash. Everyone always asks me, what's it short for? And I'm like, it's just Nash.
It's not Nashville.
No, but I'm the only person ever with a nickname where my name gets longer. It goes from Nash to Nasher.
There you go.
So there you go.
There you go. Why is abbreviated such a long word? We'll never know these things. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. In case you wanted some Nash proof of life, we just gave you some.
There you go.
We feel like we should use one of those. You need to hold up today's paper so we know everyone. Proof of life shot. Thank you very much, Nash. I love how you asked him if that's his real name. Like, no, he thought that being a producer at 95.7 The Game was going to bring so much attention to him, he wanted a stage name for being a producer. People used to ask me, what's your real name?
Really?
Yeah. They thought that Damon Bruce was a dog. Who would make that up? Like, that's a weird name to have. I wouldn't, like, if I could have made my on-air persona name, like, I would have completely been, like, you know.
Not Damon Bruce?
Oh, it would have been a real powerful name, like Leroy Hammer. Or something, you know, just something that really stood out.
Okay. Well, no, I asked Nash that because maybe, he goes by his middle name as his first name, you know? Like, some people are like, I don't know, Joseph Nash Smith.
By the way, rethinking my name. I don't think I'm going Leroy Hammer. It's too close to either. Lee Hammer, and that's way too many stations ago. When we come on back, we have absolutely something that you're going to want to hear. Anthony Slater from the Vegas Strip getting you ready for tip-off. LeBron, Lakers, we got Warriors, and it's going to happen tonight on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
I think it's pretty cool. I don't think you would have guessed it when he was with the Cavs. It started his rookie season, but it's adding a ton of interest in the league, and the Lakers are back to getting their, you know, usual media coverage that I was used to growing up.
No doubt about it. And that media coverage officially begins tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors, Lakers. Clay talking about cool to see LeBron in a Laker uniform, and yeah, I mean, it kind of is. There's no doubt. It is the most amount of star power that the Lakers have had since Kobe left, and it's the most amount of prestige that I've seen go across the chest of LeBron James. I mean, you can say what you want about where the Lakers are right now, but historically, this is the Vanderbilts. This is the Rockefellers. This is NBA royalty, and it really is the Golden State Warriors who are the nouveau riche trying to crash the hoi polloi party that you know, only the elite get to go to. So the man who is all there in Vegas right now covering it tonight is Anthony Slater of The Athletic. And, I think I heard you on with, I think it might have been Papa and Bonte yesterday, Anthony. So thanks for double dipping with us. And you were just about to get on your plane. I'm assuming things were nice and smooth. You do a show last night. You sit down at the tables. What'd you do when you got to Vegas?
Lost $100 very quickly, and I kind of tapped out of that part of the night and just enjoyed myself without losing a ton of money.
There you go.
But, you know, that's usual. I guess if you only lose $100, that's not that bad of a weekend.
Oh, you're already ahead of the game. Are you kidding me? If you only come back down a couple $100, I call that a win in Las Vegas, without a doubt.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
Let's keep it that way. Where are the Warriors staying?
They're at the Aria. I don't know. Have you been to the Aria?
Yeah, you can actually see $1 billion come to life when you walk in the lobby of the Aria.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They got, I think, maybe the best pool area in Vegas that I've seen, at least. I'm sure there's ones I haven't seen. But it's the same place that their summer league team stays, which respect to the Warriors for allowing, you know, their main guys stay there. And it is definitely up to the standards of the main guys. But they also let their summer league guys stay there. So They throw out the coin for their guy.
That is pretty cool. I tell you, it's a first-class organization, the one that one might not want to leave, and we'll get to that in just a little bit since you know exactly who I'm talking about. But first, I've been talking about him today, and I don't know how much we're going to see of him tonight. I hope we actually get to see a lot of him tonight. Jacob Evans is one of the players I'm curious about. Is he just walking around with, like, eyes wide as saucers? Is he trying to play it cool? Is he successfully trying to play it cool? I can't imagine what it's like being a 21-year-old, not only on the Warriors in this situation, but to now be in Vegas. Like, this could be overwhelming for the young man.
Yeah, you know, I actually think he's pretty mature for a rookie. Good to talk to, calm, very poised player on the court as far as, like, he doesn't try to do too much offensively because he's not, like, super, you know, talented offensive player. He just kind of plays within himself. Smart defender. Problem is also, the flip side of that is he's not really doing much to force his way into a rotation. I think he's 0-7 from 3 in preseason. He was 2-18 from 3 in summer leagues, so that would make him 2-25. Very limited sample size, but it's something to at least be concerned about because that was the concern coming in. Can he hit enough threes to get on the court? And it's pretty clear if you kind of read into Steve Kerr's rotations the first few games, Quinn Cook's ahead of him. And I would guess if opening night was tonight and they were playing a full regular season rotation, I would guess Jacob Evans might not even be in it. We'll see. I mean, I think you'll probably see him maybe at some point in the first half, but probably only in the second half tonight.
All right. Well, let's see what we see out of him. And we know that they're going to be shorthanded without Draymond tonight and how that changes things. Again, it's preseason basketball. I'm not going to be really monitoring rotations and who's playing, but I'm guessing Damian Jones should be paying a lot of attention to rotations and who's playing. It's really funny. This team has got a big question mark at center until that question gets answered with DeMarcus Cousins at some point in time. So, like, there's really not that much to worry about, but how do you think it plays out at the five early?
Well, it's interesting right now, especially with Draymond banged up. Jordan Bell and Damian Jones are both starting tonight. Bell can play four. Looney can play four. Jones can't play four. So his kind of only window right now is at the five. But they're going to really try to push. I think they're going to start him night one against Steven Adams just because it's a good matchup for him. And also, I know I talked about it yesterday with Papa and them, but he has a contract decision that the Warriors need to make on Halloween or by Halloween if they want to pick up his $2.3 million option for next year. And the way they attack the regular season is basically like a learning ground, a preseason. They know they're going to the playoffs. So I think they're going to play him as much as they possibly can play him, probably start him up through October. And then that, to me, is when they make a decision, number one, on the contract, but two, do they feel like he is, you know, a contributor this year? Is he ready for that role, or do they start really turning it over to Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney, mostly knowing that DeMarcus Cousins will come behind them? He'll end up starting. They're still going to want to play Bell and Looney. Jones has what? About a 20-day tryout right now.
Anthony Slater joining us here from The Athletic. Before he joined the Bay Area, he was in Oklahoma City, and that gives you an inside track on Kevin Durant that really no one else here can have. You've spent more time in front of him than I think any other Bay Area media member. So when you hear him being so coy about his future with the Warriors, what starts running through your mind?
I think he's being smarter than he was in his last year in Oklahoma City. And it was a different situation. He'd never left a team then. There was such a deep connection then when he was in Oklahoma City. But he said, I think, too often what Thunder fans wanted to hear. He would do profiles with Lee Jenkins and talk about how he'd seen the city rise as he's been here, and he's seen buildings pop up over here that weren't there, and how he's been such a part of it. And he never came out and said, hey, I'm re-signing like Kyrie did the other day in Boston. But he kind of dropped breadcrumbs like he loved it there and he could never see himself leaving. Those kind of comments. Where this time around, because of the hurt that he saw that he kind of caused in Oklahoma City, and again, I know it's a different situation. I know Warriors fans would probably handle it a little bit better because there isn't as big a connection. But I just think since he knows he might leave, he's definitely letting people know that he knows he might leave. And, you know, that is coming off maybe a little crass at times, or, you know, obviously there's rumblings about him looking elsewhere, or will it be New York? And he's not really quieting those by not coming out and saying stuff like Kyrie said. That he's coming back. But I think it's worse if he came out and was saying those things when he really is thinking about leaving. I don't think he knows what he's going to do yet. And I think he's pretty much telling people, I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
I also think there is an element that he and Rich Kleiman have just done everything they could to exercise more checks and balances as a superstar player and agent over a team that might not even really need that, because Joe Lacob appears to be here for the long haul for real. Like, I don't think you need to audit Joe to make sure he's spending his money wisely on this basketball team. He's very upfront with that, and the success is obvious to see. So when it comes to Durant, like, if your future is about money, well, you make more money right here than anywhere else. If your future is about titles, well, you can win more titles right here than probably anywhere else. If it comes about structure and ownership, I don't know if you can improve upon that in any other NBA city. So if he really were to leave, I feel it would be to satisfy what he would call the noise that surrounds his career. Does Kevin Durant care that much about the noise?
Yeah, yes, he cares a lot about it, as he's shown, you know, plenty over the last few years. Also, you know, it might just be some curiosity, too, at some point. You know, it's like if they just rumble out and win the title again this year, it's awesome. It'll be awesome for him. He'll have obviously, you know, mission accomplished, 3 titles in 3 years, and you could make a strong argument, as you just did right there, why he should stay. But, you know, he might just be sitting there thinking, hey, you know, he's 30, you know, he'll be 31 years old entering next season. Hey, let's go try to win in New York. You know, he's the type of guy that'll, I could see him thinking, you know, it's a wasted opportunity if he never itched that curiosity. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but I'm just saying, like, that part of it, too, I think maybe undersold, is that he's just the kind of guy that might think, oh, this would be a fun new challenge. And he also kind of views himself on the ledger of LeBron, and he's seen what LeBron has done the last few years, which LeBron held the Cavaliers hostage with those 1-1 after 1-1 after 1-1 contracts. That's what he's been doing to the Warriors. And then he also just saw LeBron make another mid-career move and kind of add another chapter and do it in a big city. And I could see, you know, Kevin seeing that and thinking, oh, that seems like that might be fun.
You know, the appeal of the New York Knicks, Anthony, I just don't see how that could fit with Kevin Durant at all. Yeah, the mission of being the savior of the Knicks, obviously they'd build statues in New York City. That would be a big deal. But you're signing up for the worst ownership the worst owner I think maybe you're going to find in the NBA. And if this guy has trouble dealing with the noise, I'm going to tell you that New York media would leave him in a fetal position crying on some evenings. The man who is all there in Vegas right now covering it tonight is Anthony Slater of The Athletic. And, geez, I think I heard you on with, I think it might have been Papa and Bonte yesterday, Anthony. So thanks for double dipping with us. And you were just about to get on your plane. I'm assuming things were nice and smooth. You do a show last night. You sit down at the tables. What'd you do when you got to Vegas?
Lost $100 very quickly, and I kind of tapped out of that part of the night and just enjoyed myself without losing a ton of money.
There you go.
But, you know, that's usual. I guess if you only lose $100, that's not that bad of a weekend.
Oh, you're already ahead of the game. Are you kidding me? If you only come back down a couple $100, I call that a win in Las Vegas, without a doubt.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
Let's keep it that way. Where are the Warriors staying?
They're at the Aria. I don't know. Have you been to the Aria?
Yeah, you can actually see $1 billion come to life when you walk in the lobby of the Aria.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They got, I think, maybe the best pool area in Vegas that I've seen, at least. I'm sure there's ones I haven't seen. But it's the same place that their summer league team stays, which respect to the Warriors for allowing, you know, their main guys stay there. And it is definitely up to the standards of the main guys. But they also let their summer league guys stay there. So they throw out the coin for their guys.
That is pretty cool. I tell you, it's a first-class organization, the one that one might not want to leave. And we'll get to that in just a little bit, since you know exactly who I'm talking about. But first, I've been talking about him today, and I don't know how much we're going to see of him tonight. I hope we actually get to see a lot of him tonight. Jacob Evans is one of the players I'm curious about. Is he just walking around with, like, eyes wide as saucers? Is he trying to play it cool? Is he successfully trying to play it cool? I can't imagine what it's like being a 21-year-old, not only on the Warriors in this situation, but to now be in Vegas. Like, this could be overwhelming for the young man.
Yeah, you know, I actually think he's pretty mature for a rookie. Good to talk to. Calm, very poised player on the court as far as, like, he doesn't try to do too much offensively because he's not, like, a super, you know, talented offensive player. He just kind of plays within himself. Smart defender. Problem is that's also the flip side of that is he's not really doing much to force his way into a rotation. I think he's 0-7 from 3 in preseason. He was 2-18 from 3 in summer leagues, so that would make him 2-25. Very limited sample size. But it's something to at least be concerned about because that was the concern coming in. Can he hit enough threes to get on the court? And it's pretty clear if you kind of read into Steve Kerr's rotations the first few games, Quinn Cook's ahead of him. And I would guess if opening night was tonight and they were playing a full regular season rotation, I would guess Jacob Evans might not even be in it. We'll see. I mean, I think you'll probably see him maybe at some point in the first half, but probably only in the second half tonight.
All right. Well, let's see what we see out of him. And we know that they're going to be shorthanded without Draymond tonight and how that changes things. Again, it's preseason basketball. I'm not going to be really monitoring rotations and who's playing, but I'm guessing Damian Jones should be paying a lot of attention to rotations and who's playing. It's really funny. This team has got a big question mark at center until that question gets answered with DeMarcus Cousins at some point in time. So, like, there's really not that much to worry about, but how do you think it plays out at the five early?
Well, it's interesting right now, especially with Draymond banged up. Jordan Bell and Damian Jones are both starting tonight. Bell can play four. Looney can play four. Jones can't play four. So his kind of only window right now is at the five. But they're going to really try to push. I think they're going to start him night one against Steven Adams just because it's a good matchup for him. And also, I know I talked about it yesterday with Papa and them, but you know, he has a contract decision that the Warriors need to make on Halloween or by Halloween if they want to pick up his $2.3 million option for next year. And the way they attack the regular season is basically like a learning ground, a preseason. They know they're going to the playoffs. So I think they're going to play him as much as they possibly can play him, probably start him up through October. And then that, to me, is when they make a decision. Number one, on the contract, but two, do they feel like he is, you know, a contributor this year? Is he ready for that role, or do they start really turning it over to Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney, mostly knowing that DeMarcus Cousins will come behind them? He'll end up starting, but they're still going to want to play Bell and Looney. Jones has what, you know, about a 20-day tryout right now.
Anthony Slater joining us here from The Athletic. Before he joined the Bay Area, he was in Oklahoma City, and that gives you an inside track on Kevin Durant that really no one else here can have. You've spent more time in front of him than I think any other Bay Area media member. So when you hear him being so coy about his future with the Warriors, what starts running through your mind?
I think he's being smarter than he was in his last year in Oklahoma City. And it was a different situation. He'd never left a team then. There was such a deep connection then when he was in Oklahoma City. But he said, I think, too often what Thunder fans wanted to hear. He would do profiles with Lee Jenkins and talk about how he's seen the city rise as he's been here. And he's seen buildings pop up over here that weren't there and how he's been such a part of it. And he never came out and said, hey, I'm re-signing like Kyrie did the other day in Boston. But he kind of dropped breadcrumbs like he loved it there and he could never see himself leaving. Those kind of comments. Where this time around, because of the hurt that he saw that he kind of caused in Oklahoma City, and again, I know it's a different situation. I know Warriors fans would probably handle it a little bit better because there isn't as big a connection. But I just think since he knows he might leave, he's definitely letting people know that he knows he might leave. And, you know, that is coming off maybe a little crass at times or, you know, obviously there's rumblings about him looking elsewhere or will it be New York? And he's not really quieting those by not coming out and saying stuff like Kyrie said. That he's coming back. But I think it's worse if he came out and was saying those things when he really is thinking about leaving. I don't think he knows what he's going to do yet. And I think he's pretty much telling people, I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
I also think there is an element that he and Rich Kleiman have just done everything they could to exercise more checks and balances as a superstar player and an agent over a team that might not even really need that, because Joe Lacob appears to be here for the long haul for real. Like, I don't think you need to audit Joe to make sure he's spending his money wisely on this basketball team. He's very upfront with that, and the success is obvious to see. So when it comes to Durant, like, if your future is about money, well, you make more money right here than anywhere else. If your future is about titles, well, you can win more titles right here than probably anywhere else. If it comes about structure and ownership, I don't know if you can improve upon that in any other NBA city. So if he really were to leave, I feel it would be to satisfy what he would call the noise that surrounds his career. Does Kevin Durant care that much about the noise?
Yeah, yes, he cares a lot about it, as he's shown, you know, plenty over the last few years. Also, you know, it might just be some curiosity, too, at some point. You know, it's like if they just rumble out and win the title again this year, it's awesome. It'll be awesome for him. He'll have obviously, you know, mission accomplished, 3 titles in 3 years, and you could make a strong argument, as you just did right there, why he should stay. But, you know, he might just be sitting there thinking, hey, you know, he's 30, you know, he'll be 31 years old entering next season. Hey, let's go try to win in New York. You know, he's the type of guy that'll, I could see him thinking, you know, it's a wasted opportunity if he never itched that curiosity. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but I'm just saying like that part of it too, I think maybe undersold, is that he's just the kind of guy that might think, oh, this would be a fun new challenge. And he also kind of views himself on the ledger of LeBron, and he's seen what LeBron has done the last few years, which LeBron held the Cavaliers hostage with those 1-1 after 1-1 after 1-1 contracts. That's what he's been doing to the Warriors. And then he also just saw LeBron make another mid-career move and kind of add another chapter and do it in a big city. And I could see, you know, Kevin seeing that and thinking, oh, that seems like that might be fun.
You know, the appeal of the New York Knicks, Anthony, I just don't see how that could fit with Kevin Durant at all. Yeah, the mission of being the savior of the Knicks, obviously they'd build statues in New York City. That would be a big deal. But you're signing up for the worst ownership, the worst owner I think maybe you're going to find in the NBA. And if this guy has trouble dealing with the noise, I'm going to tell you that New York media would leave him in a fetal position crying on some evenings.
Yeah, no, that part of it you're right on, but Kevin Durant's agent, you mentioned Rich Kleiman, he's based in New York. He is a longtime New York Knicks fan. I think he has ideas of maybe one day being a part of the Knicks front office. You have Royal Ivy, who's Kevin Durant's best friend, who is currently on David Fizdale's staff. You have Kevin Durant's father, who was a longtime New York Knicks fan. He likes New York. New York appeals to him. So if we are talking about him itching curiosity, that's where I think that franchise appeals to him. Now, he would have to, you know what he's walking into, which is a potential mess of a franchise, which has been a mess of a franchise for a long time. Starts at the top with James Dolan, who is very different, you know, than Joe Lacob and the situation he has here. So, I mean, he's going to have things to weigh. And the thing is, he doesn't really have to start weighing them until probably, you know, June and, you know, May or, you know, whenever he wants to completely think about them. But he just doesn't have to make those decisions now. But those are the reasons why I know New York appeals to him.
Anthony Slater of The Athletic, I think there is only one scenario that really allows Kevin Durant his cake and to eat it too. Why not sign a max deal with the Warriors, all the money, all the titles, ride this championship, you know, ride right to the end of it, and maybe by that time, Seattle will have been granted an NBA franchise. He can go and finally get that God acceptance status. No one would rip him for chasing titles. He'd be so sick of titles, he'd won so many here, that he'd be happy to go and be the main attraction in an expansion supersonic world that might be coming to Seattle in about 5-6 years from now. Maybe that's too many moving pieces to count on, but to me, that is the dream scenario. You get to go be someone else at the end of your career. Everyone would love you if you left the Warriors to go breathe life back into Seattle. It's a win-win.
Yeah, first of all, I'm a little skeptical that Seattle's going to get a team just being in that arena the other day. I know they're renovating it, but it is just such a small footprint. I could see, you know, I'm standing in this Las Vegas arena, which is 10 times better. I could see Vegas getting a team for Seattle. But, you know, I think he would honestly be more, he would romanticize playing a year in D.C. more than Seattle. I know the Seattle fans would just absolutely love it. And you saw the love he got the other day. But D.C. is his home. I could see that being like a farewell tour later in his career, maybe a year or two. Or, you know, even Oklahoma City. You know, we mentioned Seattle and the deep connection he had there for his 1 year. He did, you know, 9 years in Oklahoma City. So I could see that being a farewell tour at the end of the year. You know, there are, he could go anywhere, and it would just be like, you know, it's kind of like LeBron. LeBron could go to any team, and then suddenly that becomes a crazy story, major storyline. You know, fans are swirling around. Suddenly that city loves it. So he's got a lot of options. And in reality, we are sitting here arguing for why he keeps doing the one-on-ones, because at any point, if he stays with these one-on-ones, he can, you know, decide where he wants to go.
Draymond Green isn't playing tonight, and there was a joke, you know, is he going to make the trip? And, of course, Steve Kerr is like, it's Vegas. Of course he's coming. What's Draymond been up to?
Rehabbing that knee, riding a lot on the bike. I don't know if he was at the tables last night or what, but, you know, I think he was at a little bit higher rolling tables than I was, if he was. But I think there's like a mild bit of concern about his knee. Not that there's anything structurally wrong, but, you know, they keep saying they thought he was going to come back to practice and potentially play early in the week, and he didn't. Then they were saying, all right, it's going to be Wednesday, and he's not playing tonight. This swelling and just the soreness and tendonitis, whatever you want to call it, has been lingering a bit. So I still think he's online to play in the regular season, but that's already something really to monitor this year, is just how his knee responds day to day.
Hey, the last time a marquee player showed up in the Bay Area with an Achilles coming off of it, he put on football pads and played opening night for the 49ers. It was amazing what Richard Sherman did. Now, I'm not expecting Boogie Cousins to be on that fast of a rehab track, but every sign, everything seems to be pointing towards you're going to see Boogie earlier than like maybe the All-Star break or whatever you had circled as you think he'd be back date. That could come sooner than later. What have you heard?
So I'm putting the circle date at 2019 or 2018, right? January 1st. Do you see him in 2018, or will you not see him until 2019? I am now on the stronger side thinking he will show up sometime in December. Maybe that's Christmas. I mean, I think he'd love to get back for that type of marquee game. We're talking about a guy who's never really played in a big NBA game in his entire career. He was out here at shoot-around. You know, he's on the trip. He actually lives in Vegas, so I think that's part of the reason he made the trip. But he's doing more conditioning. He's doing two-on-two stuff. Light contact. They're not letting him get banged around by like Damian Jones or anything, but they're trying to bring him along as slow as possible, but it's pretty clear he is a little bit further in the process than they expected. But you know, it's an Achilles. He's a big guy. They don't really need him until late in the year, so they're going to be as cautious as possible, but I'm guessing sometime December, mid to late.
Have you ever spent more time or personally invested more language into covering a preseason game as you have this one?
Oh man, the Seattle one, just a few days ago. So
it's nuts. I mean, like preseason basketball was officially the thing that everyone could officially miss. Now here we are.
I know that's what happens with this Warriors team, right? I mean, although I will say the quirkiness of these preseason games actually make it a lot more fun than like a Suns regular season game, or you know, Warriors Magic in Oracle. I'd rather be in Vegas or Seattle and seeing the Supersonic fans going wild for trying to get a team back. So in a weird way, preseason can be more fun than the regular season with the Warriors at times.
Is it true that Steve Kerr asked if you would like to coach against the Suns this year?
Hey, everyone gets a shot. You might get a shot.
There we go.
Or they should throw it out to your listeners. That's what they should do.
Totally. Put it up for a contest. First person to come in with a clipboard that's hard to break gets to coach the Warriors tonight. Anthony, thanks an awful lot. What are your plans after the game tonight? You going out? You can be a good boy? You can go get loose?
We'll see. I need a limited amount of storylines tonight. You know, if LeBron gets into a heated something or other, or goes OT, like I don't want to jinx myself. But the hope is, quick night, get out on the town, win that 100 back.
There you go. I'll be rooting for you. I don't know who told me this, but I swear to God it's worked more than once. I'm not saying play the whole $100, but if you decide to go to play Wheel of Fortune, you know, the slot machine that's everywhere, activate your machine with a $100 bill. Only have one spin if you want and then cash out and get $99 back, but activate the machine with a $100 bill. There seems to be a little something to that. It might wink at you and smile. Wish you good luck, Anthony. Thank you.
That's some good advice. I'm going to try that.
Try it just once. See if it doesn't pay off. It has actually worked for me 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. I mean, I would never go to a Wheel of Fortune machine without a hundo. That's all I know. Thank you very much to Anthony Slater for joining us.
On 95.7 The Game.
So if there was ever a night I wanted everyone to be at full strength, that is opening night. And I really hope that Russell Westbrook is ready to go on opening night. There is a little word that he might not play opening night for the Thunder. Reports this week are that Westbrook has been practicing with controlled contact. He underwent a knee scope to clean up some things in early September with Dennis Schroeder tearing it up in the preseason. The Thunder may want to slow play Westbrook down. It is at the 4-week mark of his actual surgery. Today is the day of the 4-week mark. And the Warriors are going to be getting their rings on Tuesday. I want Westbrook front and center for that. I do. I want him to be I want him to be very pissed off. And then I want him to go out and I want him to try to dunk so hard he breaks a backboard. And then I want him to put up 40 and a triple-double and a loss. Like, I love Russell Westbrook. I do. The guy gives at the office. He might be a basket case, but he is about as much fun as watching basketball gets. I mean, he really is. So I want that opening night to go off without a hitch, and no Russell Westbrook in the lineup would be a little hitch that I wouldn't want. Something else from the world of basketball today that isn't exactly Warrior or LeBron or Laker Vegas game tonight related. By the way, Chris Townsend is coming up for a half an hour, and he's going to get you down to a little Tim Roy at the bottom of the hour for some Warrior-Laker basketball tonight. Hopefully, nobody got in a fight at practice today. There's no reason to. Everyone seems to be nice, harmonious, ready to go. Not the case in Minnesota. You've seen this rumor that Jimmy Butler wants to be traded brewing for a couple of weeks now, which is a really weird time for a trade-me NBA rumor to begin because we are about to start the season. You do not request a trade in September, usually. Jimmy Butler has. Jimmy Butler has requested a trade on the grounds of my teammates are wusses. Jimmy Butler decided that he was going to show up to practice today and prove it. I don't know who the four last dudes are on the Timberwolves roster, but apparently Jimmy Butler teamed up with them and beat the T-Wolves starters. And when he did it, he berated them the entire time. He basically went to practice to trash his organization today. And he was apparently absolutely out of control, just in the terms of trash talk, in the terms of accusation, the challenges of manhood, questioning Thibodeau, the front office, everything. I guess Jimmy Butler was just absolutely unhinged today at practice, beating his own current teammates in the name of, I hope I can prove to you how much I hate you. You're softer than me. I got to get out of here. And then, because what, the Jump and Rachel Nichols were there? He sat down for an interview. This is sound today of Jimmy Butler trashing his own team.
A lot of it's true. A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate, and I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No. But I can't control that when I'm out there competing. Like, that's my love of the game. That's raw me. Me at my finest. Me at my purest. That's what you're going to get inside the lines.
Feels like someone is trying to make themselves a little bit more of a story than maybe just his trade rumor was allowing him to be. So he went out of his way to make a real big stink, which, of course, was reported by all pretty stinks and Wojo bombing all over this today. And he drops the old, I was just being honest.
I think that I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another. If you didn't like the way that I handled myself in practice, one of the players come up to me. Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you probably right. I would have said, I ain't hooped in I don't know how long. I'm passionate about it. I love the game and I love to win. And that's all I was out there doing was competing, playing hard, doing what I'm supposed to do on the basketball floor.
So Jimmy's like, man, you know, these guys are so soft that I'm out there trashing them and no one even going to step to me. Basically, Jimmy did the old Omar's coming and the entire the street opened up and no one challenged the king. Come at the king, you best not miss.
Guess not.
Jimmy Butler, he wants out of Minnesota. One last thing to dot tonight's show with, and I know this might not matter to you, but please pay attention because this matters to me. Louisville basketball has done enough to earn the death penalty to me. I mean, I've seen enough. Maybe this isn't even a story that's on your radar. I love college hoops. I hate everything about Kentucky, mostly Kentucky hoops, but that includes Louisville hoops too. I can tell you right now they're cheating. I've been telling you that from the day one. They're either sleeping with their cousin or they're cheating. That's what's happening in Kentucky right now, all the time. That's all they do down there. Way, way back a long time ago, do you remember Katina Powell? Katina Powell mm-hmm. ran that sex ring that absolutely brought down Louisville basketball. Rick Pitino basically was allowing players to have a boom boom room in the player dorm, for goodness sakes.
Pound it, pound it, pound it, pound it.
Penalties included vacating 123 wins, the 2013 national title. Rick Pitino got suspended, and Louisville got put on 4 years probation. You think that's where the story ends? Nope, that wouldn't get you the death penalty, but this should, because Louisville has always maintained that getting in trouble recently over the FBI Adidas thing was that shoe companies and boosters were out of control, and they're the ones who were giving money to the kids. Well, today under oath, testimony had an assistant coach giving cash payments to recruits 9 weeks after being placed on probation for the sex parties.
Wow.
That's just all so blatant. Like, what does the NCAA even exist for? Why have a governing body if not to govern this? You got caught doing something very, very, very wrong, and right after being disciplined, you did something worse than that? Look, death penalty, why have it if you're not going to use it for something as blatant as this? And that's where we're wrapping up today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks to Rob Perez, Arash Markazi. Thank you so much to everyone who called in for the name game. Thanks to Anthony Slater. Albie, awesome. Thank you very much. Great show today. Elena, merci beaucoup. C'est si bon, bouton, vixen. Thank you very much. Gianna.
Damon.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow to do it again with you. Great show set up for tomorrow. Kyle Juszczyk, Steve Kerr, David Carr. We're going to have a great one for you tomorrow from 3 to 7. In the meantime, stay tuned. Townie's up next. Warriors at the bottom of the hour. Remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.